Men are generally more careful of the breed, how they breed their dogs and cats and horses, than of their children. Men are generally more careful of the breed of their horses and dogs and cats than they are of their children. How can we say that? Well, we look at the world and we say that the outer appearance is the reality. We say that the things in the outer are the things that are most important. We look at a horse's cutting, we look at a dog's breed, we look at a cat's color and so forth, and we say, wow, how great these are. Sometimes we breed them for them, their gentleness, for their rideability, for they're able to be hunters, be able to go out and be retrievers and so forth. And these are all things that we put into our animals. Do we take as much care in what we put into our children, how men and women are brought together for the outer appearance and the health and the wealth and welfare of the children who will become men and women? Do we care? And the answer is more than we realize. We care more than we realize, because we know that in the bodies of some people who have problems or who have diseases or who have illnesses of one kind or another lies a brain that's just absolutely magnificent, absolutely outstanding in every beautiful, fantastic, glorious way. And we would never have known if we did not allow that person to be born, if we did not cause that person to come forth on the earth as a human being and respect that person as they were growing up with their limitation. For their limitation in one area may not have been in some other area. Now, what science is doing, they're looking at the DNA, and they're looking at the genetics of humanity, and they're coming up with all sorts of great abilities to get inside and touch the genetic strand and make changes in it. Now, whether these changes are beneficial overall or not, or whether humanity is going to allow more changes to be made as they are in foods, this remains to be seen. But science is talking about it, and they are thinking about it. Now, I think the most magnificent change that could ever take place is the change that takes place in our thought system. Though we may breed dogs, cats, and horses, and all sorts of animals to do certain things, and though we may feed humanity in such ways that it brings out its finest and most wonderful qualities, we have the ability of thinking thoughts and having these thoughts be manifest in our creation, in our children, in our world. And we go about doing it. And the thought of love, one of the most dominant, predominant thoughts that mankind has, if mankind were able to teach itself how to be its natural being of unconditionally loving, if mankind could teach that to itself, it would have the ideal body. If it would say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, all is in divine order. If mankind would work on that premise all the time, that would be rather wonderful. That would be a rather wonderful world that we would have if mankind would do that. And the reason mankind does not do that is because it has the tendency to look at appearances and judge by appearances and let these appearances be the tic-tac-toe of its life. Whereas in reality, the appearances change constantly. It's the inner thinking that remains consistent if it is. And you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You say, every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now. You say, I am unconditionally loving at all times. Now, there we get into the more beautiful aspect, because the body does change every day. The body does bring about new appearances virtually every day, and it's rather sparkling and rather wonderful. But the most sparkling and wonderful thing about all of this is that it's not just the body that brings forth these remarkable experiences. It's not just the body. It's what goes on in the mind, what goes on in the thought system of humanity. The great thinkers are people who have exercised their thought. We have trained ourselves to realize that if we work crossword puzzles, we cause our brain to do utterly marvelous things and magical things. It begins to reach out for the talent and ability that it has in it. By reaching out, its brain cells gather in all of the ability it has to do marvelous thinking, to do marvelous thought. And these marvelous thinking and marvelous thought are going on continuously and wonderfully every single day. And they're doing it so excitingly and so remarkably that it is just something that is beyond our imagination. We think that this world is limited in any way that we think it's limited. And for us, then, it's limited. But when we can begin to think that this world is unlimited, when we can begin to think that this world is truly, truly, truly divine, when we can begin to think that this world is a magnificent world, one that we will benefit from day after day after day, one that we will come to a realization of the wonderful things that are happening all the time, when we come to this realization, when we come to this awakeness, then we can start creating the world more and more perfectly, exactly the way we like it. We can say, every child born is born in an ideal body, an ideal mind. Every child born reaches out to the grandest potential that it has, and everything is possible for every child, regardless. Yes, if a child is born with a club foot or something, that too can be remedied. That too can be remedied by the mind. By the mind, as the child is growing up, he does not let that limit him. We let things limit ourselves because we think that that's our reality. We think that's the truth about us. We think that's who we are. And it's only the beginning of the story. It's only the beginning of the story as we go out and as we bring forth in our lives the magic, the music, the wonder, the excitement that lay everywhere about us. Are you ready for such a wonderful world? Are you ready for such a marvelous thought? Are you ready for such an exciting thing? Oh, right at the moment they're thinking of smart sleeves and smart skin, and they're thinking of putting chips on the outside of the skin, and that chip will be your telephone. It'll bring you your music, and you'll be able to hear it. And you put it on your bicep, but you will be able to hear it in your ear, and you'll be able to see movies in your eye. And all it'll be is just that little chip. Well, now, that's what it is at this moment. That's what our level of awareness is. But we're reaching beyond that chip. We're reaching to whatever we think about, we manifest in our world. Whatever we think about, we demonstrate in our life. Whatever we think about, we bring it forth. We don't need these chips. They're just a step to show us that the impossible is really rather possible. They're just a step to show us how wonderful life is and what a grand and glorious experience life is for all of us if we will just open our hearts to it and let it be that which it is. And today is the day for you and the day for me to realize that we should be careful how we breed the thoughts in our mind about ourselves as we do the animals we have and as we do our families and our world. For it all takes place inside, and it all develops from our hearts, from our soul, and from our being. This is who we really are. Men are generally more careful of the breed of their horses and their dogs and their cats than they are of their children, merely because they can do something about it physically. But the real work is where we do something about it mentally. Join me in this new mental awareness that life is exactly what we create it to be by our thought, by our direction, by who and what we know we are. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.